Does God hear me? It's a valid question. Perhaps one that we've all asked, especially if we have been trying to communicate with God in prayer. And perhaps we don't receive the answer that we anticipated, or in fact feel as though we've not received an answer at all. Oftentimes when asked about prayer, I remind people that every prayer that is accepted of God is answered. And sometimes it's answered yes, and sometimes no, and sometimes perhaps wait a while. So prayer is a very misunderstood subject. And there are many who pray. But the question this morning, when we ask, does God hear prayer, perhaps should be, does God recognize all prayers? Because God hears everything. He knows everything. However, God does not always listen to or recognize our prayer. Many will say, I know that God hears and answers my prayers. And then they will give some sort of vague example, which may not really be the result of answered prayers. There are many folks who pray for things for which they should not pray. And there are many folks who do not realize and understand that not all prayers make it to God. We do have Bible example of prayer that, while heard, was not necessarily answered by God. And if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. We're going to see a man who spent time praying, who spent time being good. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it says he was a devout man. Of course, we know that we're talking about Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of the Lord coming, or the angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Many people upon reading that would say, See, the angel of the Lord appeared to him because he was praying. No, the angel of the Lord appeared to him to tell him that his prayers were a memorial unto God, or before God. He was devout. He was praying. It tells us that he gave much alms to the people. But we need to understand that he was not a child of God. Therefore, his prayers were not answered. All prayers are to be offered toward God or to God. Nowhere in the scripture are we directed to pray to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, to angels, to Mary, or to anybody else. Christ himself in Luke chapter 11 and verse 2 gave this direction when his disciples came to him and requested to be taught to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Now, there's a number of things that we can point out here. But first and foremost, he told them to whom to direct the prayer. He did not say unto them, Now, I'm here with you, and so don't pray to me. But when I go to heaven, you can pray to me. He did not. He said, Pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven. That tells us a couple of things. Number one, our prayers are to be directed to the Father. Number two, he must be your Father before you can pray to him. And of course, we know that the Father is in heaven. He also said, Hallowed be thy name. And if you do a little bit of study on this, you'll realize and understand that puts God into a place where none other can exist. And then he says, Thy kingdom come. Now, of course, at that time when they were to pray for the kingdom, because that was the very message of John the Baptizer and of Christ. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And they were to pray for that kingdom to come, and it would come. And they would be there when it did come. And they would receive the word, and they would preach it to others. But the kingdom had not come at that point. You know, many people don't give these things any thought whatsoever. They offer prayer to whomever and for whatever. I actually heard this come out of the mouth of someone. When they raised their eyes to the skies and said, "Dear Jesus, please let me win this lottery." I've often heard something equally ridiculous. First and foremost, they were praying to the wrong person. Secondly, they were praying when they were not authorized to pray. And thirdly, they were praying based upon something regarding their own lust or their own desires. This or anything like it is a mockery of prayer. And most of the time when people pray, they don't stop and think about the things that they say in their prayer. And we must use the proper words. In fact, if we use improper words, other folks might depart and think, "Well, you know, that was a pretty good prayer. That's the way I should pray." In addition to this, not everyone has been granted the privilege of prayer. Oh, we talk to people all the time and say, "You know, I prayed and prayed and prayed about that. And the Lord's going to help me out. God's got a plan for me." Yes, He does. It's the same as He does for everybody else. You follow His word, you be obedient, you become His child, and remain faithful. He definitely has a plan for you. And that plan is to go to take that gospel to everybody else, that they too might have the opportunity. But if you spurn that, you decide not to follow Him, not to listen to Him, not to obey Him, He has a plan for you as well. But not everyone has been granted the privilege of prayer. The latter part of John chapter 9 and verse 31 makes this crystal clear. And if people would just read this and read what it says, sometimes when directed to this passage, people will say, "Well, now that was the blind man." But all Scripture is inspired of God, and therefore it doesn't matter whose mouth it came out of. But notice what He tells us. He tells us who has been granted this particular privilege of prayer. "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth." And we'll see His will and how to do His will at the end of the sermon. But Cornelius had to do God's will first before he could offer up prayers that would be accepted of God. God heard them, and we know that because they came up to Him before Him as a memorial. But before those prayers could be accepted, before he could acceptably pray to God, he had to be obedient to Him, and so do we. You might very well go out, and I know this is a thing of somewhat the past, and you might go out and you might buy you a telephone that mounts on the wall. Now, I'm not talking about the kind with the crank. I'm not that old. But the kind that mounts on the wall but sits on the desk. And you might very well have a socket in your house and a wire going from that telephone to the socket. But if you've not contacted the telephone company and said, "I would like service," you can pick up that telephone all you want. You can dial all the buttons or the thing that you used to put your finger in and listen to it as it went back and forth to dial the numbers. And you will not be connected. Why? Because you don't have the service. And we can understand it when it comes to something as simple as the telephone or as complex as the telephone. However, we can't seem to grasp the concept until we are connected to God. We cannot communicate with Him. Is the telephone line connected or not? And people say, "Well, yeah, I plugged it into the wall." Oh, no, no, no. But does it go to the place where the service is connected? This also does not mean that Christ and the Holy Spirit have no place in our prayers. When we tell people that you are to pray to God and Jesus directed that we wouldn't pray to God, it doesn't mean that this avenue of prayer that Christ is not involved. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is not involved. All of the Godhead is involved in every aspect of our relationship with the Father. And it's important that we realize and understand that. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, we see as Paul is writing, by inspiration to Timothy. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Christ came to the earth. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Well, he fully understands what it's like to be here on this earth. He fully understands because he has been here. He has lived it. And he mediates between God and man. And make no mistake about it, there is power in prayer. I'm often perplexed when people say, well, you know, so-and-so's got some health problems. But they don't want anybody to know about it. Well, wouldn't you want folks to pray for you? If you have a life-threatening disease? We have examples in the Scripture. We have proof in the Scripture. In fact, Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, said to his disciples, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now this, of course, was said to his disciples. And we might very well look at it and say, well, he knows all of our needs. He knows our medical conditions and situations. But let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and we'll see, as this letter was written to the Hebrews Christians, what was told them to do. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let me point out again, this was written to Christians. The Christians were told, let us, Christians, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace before God in prayer. You need additional information from the Word of God? Turn to James chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll see the power of prayer and the evidence from the Word of God. It said, confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Oh yes, there's power in prayer. Now does that mean that every prayer that's prayed is going to be answered as we want to? We say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That doesn't mean that when we pray that someone be relieved of a certain medical condition, perhaps a cancer within their body and that sort of thing, that that person is going to be healed. It means that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If nothing else, it keeps you close to God. This too was written to Christians, children of God. Hence they could pray, our Father who art in heaven. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, we'll see that the Spirit also has a part in our prayers. It tells us there, as the Roman brethren were instructed, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Know that prayer is powerful when we realize to pray is to enlist the help of the Holy Spirit. We have also proof in examples. Not just Scripture that's revealing or dealing with prayer and revealing prayer, but we also have examples. In Psalms chapter 118 and verse 5, we find a psalmist who made this statement, an inspired statement. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. When the psalmist was in distress, he called out to his heavenly Father. In Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we see the story of Jonah and how that he got himself in a predicament. He got himself in a predicament like many people do because they refuse to listen to and do what God said. Now God told him, go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel to them. It's not the gospel we have today, but the gospel in that day, that they were to repent. So Jonah says, why? They're heathen. I'm not going to them. I'm going to run away. We see there where he was, how he ended up. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. What happened? Why, he had another chance. He had another opportunity. The fish spewed him out upon the land. What did he do then? He went to Nineveh. He preached that message to them. Then he sat down to see what was going to happen. Now, Jonah's attitude still wasn't right. But notice what happened when he was afflicted. He prayed to God. In James chapter 5, verses 15 through 18, we see there, in the New Testament age, in the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Again, verse 16, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then it gives us examples, again, from the Old Testament. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I suspect in the last day or so, some people probably prayed the prayer of Elias there. They wanted it to stop raining. Well, there's no miracles performed today. There was a reason for this prayer, and for this prayer being answered, to show the power of God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5, and then picking up again in verse 9 through 13, we'll see the prayer of Solomon. It tells us there that in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Today, if we were asked that question, what would we answer? We probably have a long list, don't we? Oh, new car, new house, new this, new that, for me, for mine. Solomon says in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee. Neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. We might think, well, you know, Solomon had it made at that point. No, Solomon still had choices to make. And we'll see toward the end of his life he made some bad choices. He chose to marry those whom he had been told not to marry. He chose to follow them in their religion. And God had given him wisdom to use if he would just use it. He also provided him these other things. As we continue to contemplate prayer, we need to ask the question, does God always listen? We've already established the fact that you must be a child of God for your line to be connected, for you to have the privilege of prayer. But does God always listen? In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 45, we're going back to God's people in the Old Testament. We're going to see a statement regarding them. And these people wept before the Lord. And you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Why? Because they were disobedient children. In Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 26, again, we see the same thing. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. This was Moses pleading with God for the people, the disobedient people. We see this continuing down through history as you turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 8. Jeremiah lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. The destruction because of disobedience. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. Well, all the examples that I have given have been from the Old Testament. Again, to give one more. In Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 44, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Israel's sins prevented their prayers from being heard. And somebody might say, you know, that was Israel. Okay, fine. Go to 1 Peter, chapter 3 and verse 12. It tells us there about those in the New Testament age, those who are children of God under the New Testament covenant. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Evil is anything that's not good. And if we're involved in sin, that's not good. Why then doesn't God listen to some prayers? Well, we've already touched on it, but let's see Bible reasons for this. In Job chapter 35, verses 12 through 13, we see words there that can be spoken by Job. There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will hear vanity. It will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. When pride gets in the way, the pride of evil men. In Psalms chapter 66, verse 18, the psalmist points out to us why it is that God will not hear our prayers. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If we have sin in our lives and live in that sin, God will not hear us. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 9, we'll see here that we don't have to be evil people, wicked people. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. And the latter, or the first part of John 9:31. We've already looked at the last part and how the application could be made. But notice the simplicity with which this was said. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. Someone might argue the point and say, well, the Bible says that we're all sinners. How does God hear us? Yes, we're all sinners, but we're not living in sin. Hopefully. We repent of those sins. Sometimes the things that we ask for causes prayers not to be heard. In James chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, we see James providing them with information in this general epistle. He said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. We must ask according to the will of God. I've heard people in public prayer say, Lord, save those that are lost. Amen. However, God is not going to reach down and save a person because they're lost. He has provided the means by which that person can hear the gospel. And guess what? That means me. That means you. We want people to be saved. We can't sit on our seats and pray the prayer and expect it to happen. We've got to ask according to his will. We might very well ask, when it comes to people being saved, give me the strength and give me the courage to go out and introduce people to the truth. In verse 4, in James chapter 4, he continues, he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We needn't ask for personal gain. We needn't ask for personal privileges from God. God doesn't listen to some prayers because they're improperly asked. But when does God listen? Again, we go to John chapter 9, verse 31, the second part. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. But there's a certain way that we are to pray. You know, I used to ask my dad for something, knowing full well the answer was no. We can't go to so-and-so's house and play ball, can we? Well, why ask a question? Knowing the answer is no, expecting to get the answer no, and hoping to be surprised. In James chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, tells us how we are to ask. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. We need to be persistent. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We tend to go to God in prayer when something's bothering us. We tend to go to God in prayer when we need or want something. We tend to go to God in prayer when it's all about me. But when we do go to God in prayer, and it should be regularly, faithfully, diligently, continually, we need to ask in faith, nothing wavering. When we assume the proper position in our relationships and act accordingly and live righteously, God hears our prayers. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we see this in relation to the husband-wife situation. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. A lot of women today don't like to see that passage. But friends, God created the relationship. Now, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All of our relationships must be dealt with accordingly. We must live righteously, and when we do, God hears our prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we see something else regarding prayer, and this is something I haven't talked about much this morning. All too often when we go to God in prayer, we say, give me, provide me, help me, those kind of things. It's all about me. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, we are told, be careful for nothing or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All too often, people's prayers seem to be structured like this. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, but we want some more. Give me this. Give me peace. Give me prosperity. Give me. All too often, we fail to supply the thanksgiving part. When we properly pray, and we're properly thankful, and we can let our request be made known unto God, it tells us, in the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, prayer is powerful. Let me say something else about prayer before we close. It is not a substitute for attendance. Prayer is not a substitute for Bible study. It's not a substitute for good, proper Christian living. Our prayers can be hindered by our actions. What it boils down to, it's all about the condition of the heart of the individual. Oh, Cornelius had a good heart, didn't he? But it wasn't a proper heart. The time had just come for the Gentiles to gain entrance into the kingdom. And yes, after he was baptized into Christ, he could then pray and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. The individual's heart must be right with God before God will hear or respect their prayers, and certainly will not answer them if they're not. We must then be children of God, and one's heart cannot be right unless they have been obedient. One cannot be a child of God and therefore cannot pray, Our Father which art in heaven, unless they have been obedient. Obedient unto what? Unto the gospel. Well, how do we do that? Ah, I'm glad you asked. The Bible teaches for a person to become a child of God that they must hear the word of God. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 28, we see the apostle Paul speaking, as he was guided by the Spirit, frustrated by the fact that the Jews rejected Christ. He says, be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And there are people today who will still hear. Having heard the gospel, they need to believe it. We all are to believe it. And we are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then a person is to repent. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we see this command given, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip going down to meet with the eunuch. Verse 35 says, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Well, there's nothing wrong with him being baptized, but there was something he hadn't done, and that was to confess. So Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that good confession. And so in verse 38 we see, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Which brings us to our next point in the plan of salvation, is to be baptized. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You count those off, you see, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And all too often, people say, I've done those things. I'm a child of God. I can pray. And yes, you can. However, understand and know that not only will you not receive the crown of life, but your prayers will not long be answered unless you remain faithful. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part reads, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Perhaps this morning, as a child of God, having not contemplated prayer, having not lived according to the Word of God, you've allowed sin to separate between you and God. As a child of God, you have an option, and that is to reestablish that relationship through repentance and prayer. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see Simon, having fallen into that same condition, being told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It's my desire that when we leave here today, that every one of us is of a condition in which we might pray. Perhaps you're not a child of God, and you can become one today. You've heard what you need to do. Perhaps as a child of God, you need to reestablish that relationship. Again, you have heard what you need to do. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you need to come, won't you do so as together we stand and we sing.